Let's see. Are there any more announcements? I don't think there are. Can anybody think of any announcements? I did. I mentioned the shoeboxes. All right. Well, if there are no more announcements, let us begin with our chiming of the hour. To please stand as we worship the Lord with our first hymn, Heralds of Christ.
Thank you.
Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, traditional version. Let us affirm our faith with this ancient creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I don't know of any prayer requests from my neck of the woods. So does anyone out there have any requests that they would like to share with us today? I know we want to continue to pray for Larry and for Arvel and for the family. Arvel's sort of having good days and bad days, and I think a lot of it is just a lot of change all at once for him. So keep him in your prayers, and of course keep Larry in your prayers, and Alice and the whole family as they go through these times. I did hear that they're not sure as far as. What is her name? I've completely blanked. Mary Ann. Lord, I wanted to call her Mary Lou. I don't know why, but Mary Ann, she had been in Park West, and she finished there. They did everything they could for her there. They sent her back over here, and then Park West said that she had tested positive for COVID. Then they said, no, she tested negative for COVID. Then they said, no, she tested positive for COVID. Now she's apparently feeling congested and such in her chest and everything. So I'm not sure that there's ever been a definitive answer as whether or not she has COVID or not. But please pray for her. I know that they gave her a lot of blood while she was in the hospital. And since that, she had been doing better. She seemed more coherent and more like herself, more alert. But now, as I say, she's having some congestion in her chest and some pain from that congestion, that kind of stuff. So if you will, please keep her and the family in your prayers. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? Liliana has one. Oh, your prayer request is that you love me? I love you too, sweetheart. I love you very much. Thank you. It's always good to have a young daughter. They still love you when they're that age. So, all right. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share with us?
Pastor, I would like for people to keep this, our church in their hearts and their minds in their prayer. You and I have talked. We know we're facing some potential rough times in the future. Mm-hmm. And everyone needs to pray daily that we will survive this at Walker United Methodist Church.
Amen. I certainly encourage everyone to pray for the church, both our local expression as well as worldwide, during these difficult times. And as Larry said, we do have some struggles and some concerns that are before us, but we will do our best and we will trust God. And whatever happens, may you know that God is in control. And that's really the honest truth. The church throughout history and even to today has lived through some times where it thought the gates of hell would prevail. But Jesus said the gates of hell will never prevail against my church. And so let us live life as if we truly believe that, because that is one of the many promises that God has given us. But please continue to pray for our church, if you will. Let's see. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? All right, well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, you've heard our requests, and you know so many other requests that we have that we have not shared for various reasons, whether it be that they've slipped our mind, whether it be that we've shared them before and we just know that we have been praying for them, and even whether it be that we've given up on praying for them, because Lord, we're human and sometimes we do those things. We know that you are in charge. We know that you hold all things in the palm of your hand. We know that all things work together for the good for those who love you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be with all of the situations mentioned, with the church, with Larry and his family, with Marianne and her family, with all of those who could not be here with us today for various reasons, with those who have been hurt by the church and are afraid to come back, with those who would love to come back to church but either are concerned because of potential exposure to COVID, or perhaps they are in a nursing home or just not feeling well today. Those who may have to work today. Lord, we pray that you would be with all who are affiliated with our church, as well as all of those who are not affiliated, but who you have called us to love. May be with our state, with our city, with our country, with the entire world, with all of our brothers and sisters around the globe. May all come to know Christ. We pray all of these things in his beautiful and glorious name, as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I think we'll move our next hymn up, if we could, number 428, for the healing of the nations. As you're able to, please stand as we sing this hymn together.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. And just as a reminder, there's a basket over there, right, almost into the narthex, as well as one by this door here. So whichever door that you may have entered through, or that you may leave through, you can leave an offering in there, and it will be collected and taken over to Wanda's office. You can also give online. At the top of our Facebook page is a pinned post that tells you how to give online, and it should be fairly self-explanatory. I clicked on it when we first did it to make sure that it wasn't something really strange, and it seemed good then. I'll confess I haven't looked at it since then, but I don't know why it would have changed. So you can give online that way. Also, you can send your tithe and offering in the mail. Our mailbox is locked, it is secure, and Wanda tries to come and check it every day or at least every other day, depending on what she's got going on. And then Wanda and I are here throughout the week. From time to time, we try and keep some normal office hours during these difficult times. So if you happen to see our cars in the parking lot, you can feel free to drop them off when you see us here. In all things, may you follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit and do what you believe He would have you do. As Larry had mentioned, the church could certainly use your gifts, but ultimately we want you to follow the prompting of the Lord in all things. So let us say a blessing over our tithes and our offerings at this time. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to give back of those blessings, for all the work that is done because of those blessings, for all the good things, the furthering of the kingdom that is accomplished with those blessings. Lord, we pray that as we give, you will remind us that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul writes, "Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord and Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So, an interesting thing about the letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter to the Thessalonians, is that Paul doesn't have a lot of commands to give them. In fact, if you read through, it's not really until the last part of the last chapter that Paul really gives them any type of lessons or commands or instructions or anything like that. He intersperses the letter with a little bit here and there, but it's not like some of the other letters that Paul writes where he's like, listen, you can't let people do this. Listen, don't do this stuff. Hey, it's come to my attention that you're doing these things. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians is really just a letter saying, man, thanks for not being such a burden to me. That's really what Paul is saying. He's saying, because of you, we are free to do the work of the gospel in other places that need it. We're not constantly having to come back to you and say, okay, what's the problem now? Anybody that has ever worked with people underneath them, anybody that's ever worked in a supervisory position, knows how important it is to have people that you can trust to do their job without you constantly looking over their shoulder. The converse of that is, I think we've all had at least one person who is constantly looking over your shoulder whether they need to or not. I've had a little of both. Years ago, when I was a wee lad of 19 or so, maybe I was a little bit older than that, I had a summer job that my dad had gotten me working as a safety inspector for directional drilling companies. They're the guys that you see on the side of the road with this big tracked vehicle with a bunch of pipes, and they're sticking pipes into the ground. And what they're doing is, where they can't dig, like for instance the street out here, they use those to drill a hole so that they can pull electrical cables, fiber optic cables, different things like that, and you know, bring it under the road, again, without having to tear up the road to do it. My job was, as a safety inspector, pretty much I just had to make sure that they were being safe. And as long as they were being safe, my job was easy. I sat in my truck with the air conditioner on those hot Georgia summer days, and I read or took a nap or, you know, whatever, because as long as they did their job and were safe, I didn't have anything to do. It was really easy. But if I had a crew that didn't know, didn't care, whatever, that made my job much more difficult. I constantly had to watch them. And people don't like to be constantly watched, whether they're doing a good job or a bad job. People don't like that. So that type of thing would cause a lot of strife. But I remember this one group that I worked with. It was just three guys. One guy ran the drill. One guy ran the locator. They have to have a little locator so that they know that they're not, you know, drilling into grandma's sewer line or something like that. And then one guy was just kind of the gopher. You know, he'd go and he'd get a drink if one of them wanted a drink. He'd go and make sure that there was nothing crazy happening because in directional drilling, they use this stuff they call mud to lubricate. And sometimes, the ground being what it is, that mud would come out 10 feet over here, even though you're drilling right here. And the thing was, it's not a bad thing, but when people see guys with drills and stuff bubbling out of the ground, they start looking for their lawyer's phone number. So you have to check on those things. They were such a good crew that I'd show up in the morning, make sure everything was set, fill out my paperwork, and then I'd say, hey guys, I'm going to go get something to eat. I'd go get something to eat, come back, check on them. I probably could have gone to Europe and come back in a week and they'd still be doing the right thing. It was wonderful. So when I read Paul say this to the church in Thessalonica, I can be rejoicing with Paul. It's nice. You have people that do what you need them to do without you constantly having to be over them. But what strikes me more with this passage in Thessalonians is that Paul says, you imitated us and the Lord and became a model to all the believers. And then he says, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Because so we don't have to say anything about it, for people tell us about it. People know who you are. You have a reputation. If you've been in the church for a while, especially when you were younger, you know that there's this thing, one of the manifestations of it is called evangelism explosion, but there's this kind of idea in the church about how you do evangelism. And what you do is you memorize a lot of verses and you know where to go and you go out into the highways and the byways and you say, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And here's the Romans road to salvation and these are the different verses. And, you know, would you like to pray here and repent of your sins? So on and so forth. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that model. Many people have come to faith with that model. It's not a bad model. The problem with it is that some people just say, yeah, okay, whatever, as long as you go away, right? It's one of those kind of things, like, here's another one of these people. Yeah, I'll take your paperwork and I'll pray the prayer and all that just so you'll go away so I can get back to watching UT lose or win, depending on who they're playing. And other people, they take it, they're like, that's good, that's great, but then there's no follow-up. There's no kind of discipleship. It's just like, well, pray the sinner's prayer, I'm good to go now. A much more effective, but not necessarily flashy method of evangelism is relationship evangelism. Relationship evangelism says, follow me as I follow Jesus. Relationship evangelism is, longer, more difficult, but it's also much more effective. Anybody here ever known somebody who says one thing and does another? Right? You might know. Georgia has a few people in mind. If you've ever voted for anybody, you probably have a few people in mind as well, right? And what tends to happen is that, you know, here's my promises, this is what I'm going to do, I don't do it, and instead of saying, you know what, I messed up, well, you know, if it hadn't have been for this person, there's always somebody casting blame, right? That causes people to become jaded. It causes people to become upset and angry. Maybe it just causes people to become sad. Oftentimes, the problem that people have with church is not that it's on Sunday at 11. It's not that it's in whatever kind of building it might be in. It's not that the pastor puts them to sleep and they get a good nap for an hour or so. It's not that the church asks them for money. Oftentimes, all it is that people leave church and forget to take Jesus with them. And then we use what Martin Luther called cheap grace to justify doing that. Cheap grace is where you say, well, you know I mess up, but God will forgive me. Well, that's absolutely right. We do mess up. And yes, God is able to forgive and will forgive the truly repentant person. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What are Jesus' primary commandments? He only has two primary commandments. There are other commandments, yes, but there are two primary ones. Love God with everything you have. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Jesus says every other commandment hangs on these two commandments. So in other words, if you say all your prayers, if you do all of your religious things, you do lots of charity work, you do lots of good things, but you don't have love, who cares? That's essentially what Scripture says. Without love, it's just going through the motions. I may have told you guys, I know a guy who is affiliated with a previous church that I was pastor at, and he works at Walmart, and he said that he would like to come to church more often, but sometimes he has to work on Sundays, which, you know, I get that. He said, but what drives me crazy is Sunday after church, people will come into Walmart, and they'll see me, and they'll say, you know, you should be in church instead of working here at Walmart. And he said, and I want to say so badly I can't because of, you know, my job, but I want to say I could go to church if you'd quit coming into Walmart on Sunday after church. I'm not saying don't go to Walmart Sunday after church, but remember to take Jesus with you when you go to Walmart Sunday after church. Lots of those people there aren't working on Sunday because they're like, boy, I don't like to go to church. It stinks. I'm gonna get a job where I can work on Sunday. There are a good number of them that would go to church if they didn't have to work on Sunday. But somebody's got to pay the bills. Somebody's got to buy the food. Paul tells the church in Thessalonica, I thank God every day for you because I know that when people look at you, they see Jesus. Brothers and sisters, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that. We mess up pretty much on a daily basis, unless we're in a coma or something like that. There's nothing inherently wrong with messing up. It's how you mess up and how you're restored, and then how you turn that grace to others. When Jesus tells the story of the ungrateful steward, that's his message. He says, you were forgiven much, and yet you can't forgive a little. You were treated well when you didn't deserve it, and yet you can't be kind. This morning at Chevrant, during prayer time, Jane over at Chevrant had said that, you know, we need to pray for the country, that violence doesn't erupt because of the election, whatever happens with the election. And Terry told me this morning that, you know, she's like, whatever your religion or your political point of view, could you just act like Americans? I would take that one step further. Could Christians just act like Christians? I know politics make us passionate. I know that. Lots of things make us passionate. Sports make us passionate. You know, I've seen people call each other names over which rock and roll band is the best. You know, I mean, come on. We all know it's Guns N' Roses, but some people don't think that that's true. So, but I don't yell at them. I don't argue with them. Scripture says, speak the truth in love. We're really good at speaking the truth and forgetting about the love. Brothers and sisters, this world has enough loudmouths. This world has enough self-righteous people. This world has enough pompous jerks. What this world needs is Christ. And the only Christ most people will see is you and I. Or you and me, if you're an English teacher. So I encourage you, be passionate. Have things you care about. Be willing to stand up for things you care about. But remember this, at the end of the day, God is not going to judge you on whether or not you won an argument on Facebook. God is going to judge you by whether or not you follow Jesus Christ. So if you can't see Jesus doing it, maybe you and I shouldn't do it either. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to imitate Christ. Help us to be an example of him in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And may you take those blessings and extend them to all whom you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.